Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood. You're tuned in to another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. We welcome you aboard today. Let me remind you at this juncture, you can dial 401-1413, 904-401-1413. Get your telephone calls straight through the studio, right to our microphone, so that we can have dialogue and discussion together. An exciting program today, and I'm looking forward to having you on board with your insights and your questions regarding that which we will discuss. But before we get into the discussion and the issue at hand today, let me remind us, as we face these issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. You've heard me say before, and may I say again, at the risk of redundancy, God created three institutions, the home, and government, and the church, and in that order. So anything we discuss in relationship to government, or some call it politics, it's all a part of the Word of God. And so as we look at the issues, look at life from a central biblicist standpoint, we're looking at it through the prism of the Word of God, and therefore there's no such thing as a secular perspective. It is a biblical worldview perspective, and as we do so, we look at it through the prism of the Scripture, and Jesus said to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's what Jesus said to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32, but then he made a profound statement, a declaratory statement about Scripture in John 17:17, where he simply said, thy word is truth. And so, ladies and gentlemen, the Word of God is truth, and that is a word today that's not looked for in Washington. It's not sought after in the political circles. You do not find politicians say we want to get to the truth. Generally speaking, it's a battle for power in their position of so-called leadership. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about today the need for us to vote. That is a right that we have as citizens, but it's a responsibility that we have as Christians. A Christian cannot just sit back and say, I'm not going to vote. You've got until October the 9th to register, and if you're not registered, shame on you. If you're not registered, get registered. You need to vote. As Christians, we have the responsibility to be salt and light in the society in which we're living in. But ladies and gentlemen, the clock's ticking. The world's watching. The socialist Democrats are searching for dirt all over Washington and the suburban areas roundabout. They're searching for dirt under the rug and on the rug and in the closets and outside the closets about Judge Kavanaugh. Somehow, some way, the mindset is that we can just buy a little time and we can badger the Republican. By the way, the Socialist Democrats have been successful in doing that, badgering them into giving extra time and extra time and extra time. And we're in the third week, and this should have already been voted on. The judge should already be seated. The Supreme Court just started their fall session this week. And I find it absolutely frightening that we're watching the decay of a constitutional republic in America. And that's what I really believe we're seeing. The Republicans, by the way, have exhibited what I call their inability to stand for truth and to stand for the Senate rules. They allowed the leftists, the socialist Democrats, to blast Judge Kavanaugh with all kind of innuendos and challenges about his morals and ethics and values and about his record as a federal judge, and yet the so-called conservatives, the Republicans, were pretty much silent. As a result of their silence, we have watched the continuing deterioration of the process, and that process of the Senate rules and that process of the rule of law, I believe, has been digressed from to the point that we're watching the multitudes of nuts today, as I call it, coming out of the closet. They're unleashing their venom on the judge to try to prevent him being confirmed as a U.S. Supreme Court justice. We're now in the holding pattern. And in that holding pattern, we're allowing more and more to come out of the closet. Recently, for example, a man that is a professor at some university, a Yale graduate with Judge Kavanaugh, now says that Judge Kavanaugh ought not to be confirmed simply because he threw ice on someone in a bar some 30-plus years ago when he was in college. Now, I don't make light of that, and I do not say that it's wise to be found in a bar room. I'm opposed to that. But simply suffice it to say, that's not a rational reason to say that he can't be seated. But when this man was asked a few brief questions, even by the fake media, he admitted that he was against Trump. He admitted that he was against Kavanaugh as a person and as what he stands for as a judge. He admitted that all of those things, and yet supposedly he's not biased in his decision to come out and make some negative statements about Judge Kavanaugh. Ladies and gentlemen, I simply say this. We as Christians and as conservatives, we need to seek God's face. We need to ask him to give America and all Americans victory in the confirmation process, that we would confirm Judge Kavanaugh on the Supreme Court bench. The major political battle we're faced with, ladies and gentlemen, here in the state of Florida, is that of the governor's race. But listen very carefully, regardless of whether it's in Washington or on a state level or local level, the battle that we're watching today is not necessarily a political battle. I understand it's fought out in the political arena, but it's not necessarily a political battle. It's a spiritual battle. It's a battle between good and evil. It's a battle between God and Satan. It's a battle, I believe, for the soul of America. And if we lose the battle, we will watch the Democratic Socialists destroy our constitutional republic. In fact, in Psalms 11 and verse 3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And that ought to be the challenge to every Christian listening to me today. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted that on this broadcast today, we have with us Florida Representative Jay Fant. Jay, welcome to Let's Face the Issues today.
Dr. Youngblood, it is always a pleasure to be on your show. Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm delighted that you're available and make yourself available for these occasional opportunities for us to talk with the general public and elicit from you your wisdom and your insight in the political arena and as a Christian as to what you see and what we're doing. You heard part of the monologue, at least, as I was discussing what's happening in Washington. Before we get into a little broader discussion about our state and the state election process and who's running, tell me what you see as the scenario in Washington with Judge Brett Kavanaugh and his confirmation process. What's happening? Why is it happening? Where is it going? In your opinion, will he be confirmed?
Thank you, Dr. Youngblood. I listened to your introduction with great interest and was extremely attentive to all of last Thursday's hearings. I don't think I missed any of it, whether I was listening to it or watching it. And when we talk about what's at stake, and you've mentioned and stated correctly that the soul of America is at stake. And I recall Thursday afternoon, Dr. Youngblood, as your listeners may have related to this as well, when Judge Kavanaugh came to center stage and with all of the media against him, all of the liberals against him, the tsunami of opposition emanating from the Roe versus Wade crowd, if you will. And here is a man under tremendous attack. And as I was reflecting on his assertive opening statement and in seeing so much power and spirit in him, a good friend of mine texted me and said, "We just have no idea how many are praying for this man this very moment.
Amen.
And that's where we Christians come into play, Dr. Youngblood, when the media has their way, when the liberal Democrats make a fool out of good people and set traps for others to believe. We have our faith, we have God, and we have our vote. And our time is coming. Our time is coming. We have challenges ahead. Judge Kavanaugh is at risk of not being confirmed because of the circus that's going on up there. I'm not sure to what extent your listeners have followed this, but I'm sure many are aware that Senator Flake from Arizona unfortunately gave a lot of validation to the Democrats' spurious arguments last week and has extended the sailing of this ship of fools. Can Judge Kavanaugh withstand it personally? Can the Republicans in the United States Senate, will they have the ballast to withstand all this personally? This is, again, where we come in, Dr. Youngblood. We get on our knees, we pray.
Amen.
We ask our friends to pray, and we support. I was pleased to see that the good students at Liberty University sent several busloads of students to Washington just to show support amidst all the hysteria. And I praise God for the young people who are faithful, who know when to stand up for good people. And that inspires all of us. So let's pray Judge Kavanaugh through this this unfortunate process and let him take his place on the bench and be the originalist and the constitutionalist that we all know him to be, and let him be validated, let him be justified on the court, certainly in the public forum, but also let his faith in the Lord invigorate him and make him one of the best justices we've ever had.
Yes, you touched on the latter statement there, and I believe that is with wisdom from your lips that I believe our people listening need to hear again. And what you've just said is that through what he is going through, God may it give him strength and deepen his wisdom, broaden his conviction, strengthen his commitment to stand by our Constitution and the rule of law. I believe that's what God is doing in this. God is going to cause him to be more focused and sharpen as to what he would have him to do as a U.S. Supreme Court justice. And our prayer needs to be, and I pray that all of our listeners are hearing this and are cognizant of this, our prayer needs to be, God give us victory for the deliverance of our nation, but first and foremost, give Judge Kavanaugh tenacity and strength and encouragement to continue the battle and not withdraw. That is my fear, and I'm prayerful that that will not happen, because if he remains in the battle, I believe God will give us the victory. And that's what we need to do. Keep praying and standing up. But, Jay, I'm delighted that you're here, and I'm thankful for what you have done, what you're presently doing in the political arena, and the stand for truth in our Constitution. We've got a major, major battle before us here in the state of Florida. We've got the governor's race that is in a high level of contention today. We've got a Senate race with Bill Nelson and our governor, Rick Scott, that's in a locked horns position, as I call it, vying for that elected position. But, Jay, let's talk for a moment about our governor's race. I believe it's one of the most important governor's races. I've been in Florida for about 40 years, and I believe it's the most important governor's race that I've seen in the time that I've been in Florida. And I believe it's perhaps will be a, how would you say, an indicator as to where we're going in our nation as to the outcome of this election for the governor's race. Tell us, we've got two candidates. Who these candidates are. Tell us, first of all, about the Republican candidate and why we as Christians ought to recognize that as a viable choice. And then we'll talk about his opponent and why we should recognize that as being a grave danger for our state.
I do agree, Dr. Youngblood. This is a bellwether election, not just for Florida, but for the country. Everyone's watching. This is become quite a polarized election, both on policy and politics, if you will. This isn't a typical curiosity about what these candidates are about. We are fortunate to have Congressman DeSantis as our nominee in the sense that his track record and what he believes in is explicit. He has writings. He has books written about his devotion to the dreams of the founders, to the dreams of Americans, and he's had that in publication even prior to becoming an elected official. We know who he is. He is who he says he is. He will be who he says he will be. He is certainly endorsed by the President of the United States, which filled his campaign sales to the primary victory. But now the battle is in front of us for maybe what I might consider somewhat of an unexpected result, because I can't say that I had anticipated that Mayor Ghillem would have survived his primary election, but he has. And with that has brought a tremendous amount of attention. And what we are reliving here is the rejection of the Democrats' 2016 platform and it being brought back to us in the form of Andrew Ghillem. And ultimately, these are the elections that shouldn't be that difficult for us to decide. If we liked what Hillary Clinton and President Obama and, frankly, Hollywood, Dr. Youngblood, believe in,
yes, that's right,
then Andrew Ghillem is their candidate. Believers, as we are, know, and believers in the Lord and believers in the Christian inspiration of our founders know that those beliefs of the Hollywood and Obama-Clinton types are complete and polar opposites of what we believe in the blessings of this nation as embodied in the United States Constitution and inspired by the Declaration. If anyone can represent those more perfect ideals, it's Ron DeSantis, who has already written about these in his publications. This is a time for believers, again, to say, I've got a place where I can show who we are, and I can make a difference in this election by voting for the Republican candidate DeSantis over the mayor of Tallahassee.
You touched on that with the mayor of Tallahassee, and if you want Clinton or Obama, then that would be the candidate. In fact, I'm looking at an article written by a political writer. It says, Tallahassee has personally known Ghillem for years, said Ghillem is Obama 2.0. That should be frightening enough for anyone to hear. Let's talk about a little further, though. I want to use a little, use an approach of comparison and contrast for our listeners today. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. We're talking with Jay Fant, one of our representatives in Tallahassee with the Florida House of Representatives, and we're talking about the election that we're faced with in the state of Florida. We have just a few days now before the election, November the 6th, and I pray that you're registered. If you're not, I invite you to register. You need to do so before October the 9th if you're going to vote in the election. And I say to every Christian, we need to be salt and light. That means we need to get out of the closet, need to be seen and heard. We need to cast our ballot. We're in the world, but not of the world, but yet as citizens of the world in which we're living in, we need to be that salt and light. God charges us with that responsibility. Jay, as we think about Ron DeSantis, let's just go down a little, as I call it, comparison and contrast, a little check and balance list. So what we're saying is that we're dealing with one candidate, Ron DeSantis, that is a conservative and a constitutionalist, one that believes in the rule of law and our Constitution. Am I correct in that statement?
You are 100% correct in that statement. Quite a contrast to candidate Ghillem, who openly endorses socialism and big government in our lives.
Socialism is exactly what he stands for. In fact, I'm looking at an article here that says, in a meeting at the Florida House of Representatives, Carlos Smith revealed the campaign's position on immigration. And this is what was said in relationship to Ghillem's position, for example, with illegal immigration. He says, no one will ever be considered illegal under Governor Ghillem for the state of Florida. Florida will be a sanctuary state, end quote. That ought to frighten every person that's listening today, Jay, with a person running on that kind of track and that kind of agenda. And that's what socialism is. Most are not aware of the fact that we have 57% of the Democrats today that are admittedly socialist in their thinking. This is the reason they're trying to pander around the term democratic socialist or socialist democracy, is because they are floating and on a fast track toward making America a socialist nation. But Jay, let me ask you some other questions. What about the record of Ron DeSantis as a U.S. House of Representative member? Has he had a pristine conservative record, or is there a question about his record?
Fortunately for us, Dr. Youngblood, there's no mystery to where Congressman DeSantis has stood in his record in Congress. He's been a vocal member of the Freedom Caucus. That's the caucus yes. that votes conservative and sometimes does it in spite of the establishment's will for another direction. It's one of our bolder groups in Washington. We need a group like that in Tallahassee. Congressman DeSantis has been active there in his opposition to Obamacare and his opposition to socialism and his support of things like lesser taxes and the tax reform. We can look at those who support Congressman DeSantis and see that he is from central casting for a fiscal and even a social conservative, while his social conservatism is not as forefront as his fiscal conservatism. When you get to know the man, as I have over time, he's a believer, and
yes.
And he is forceful on television with his views. But in my private meetings with him, he's as real as you and I are, and he's the type of strong spiritual man who lives out his convictions, which is why he believes politically what he does. He will fly the conservative flag as well as any political figure from Florida that I can think of in my memory.
Yes. In fact, I do not know him personally as well as you do. I've had the opportunity to meet him, talk with him, and be in meetings on two occasions. And I am thankful for his, as you said a moment ago, and I reiterate it, his bold stand for his moral, ethical, Christian faith, and for his stand for our Constitution and for the freedoms that we have in America today, especially when it comes to our Bill of Rights. And yet, Jay, the opposite of that with Andrew Gillum, let me just read down a checklist of what I call his position, and then we'll have some discussion about it. He's a proud socialist, number one. He stands for free education for all, free medicine for all, free medical care for all, no borders to secure America. He says he wants Florida to be a sanctuary state. He says he will impose a state income tax on Floridians. He says he will increase the taxes by about 40%. And as one person has calculated that in the political circles in Tallahassee, said that would be equivalent to about $1 billion increased taxes. He stands against the Trump agenda in every form and facet. He says he will eliminate the Florida Stand Your Ground law. He is opposed to the Second Amendment. He is funded by George Soros and the socialist Bernie Sanders. Gillum will cause major inflation in Florida because he says he wants to take the federal minimum wage from $7.25 to enforce it as a $15 minimum wage in the state of Florida. Jay, have I pretty much outlined Andrew Gillum's position as a political runner in the race for governor in the state of Florida?
Dr. Youngblood, you have quite accurately and comprehensively recited the parade of horribles, if you will, that Andrew Gillum stands for. And let's include two more things. He and people around him are currently under a federal investigation in Tallahassee for insider dealings in that town. And it's not unforeseen that he could be facing an indictment based on this investigation. Other indictments have already been rendered in his circle in the coming year. This is his track record. This is what we have coming our way. And isn't it interesting, Dr. Youngblood, that as certain as Andrew Gillum is with the positions that you have revealed, he still yet refuses to debate Congressman DeSantis. Just last week, the congressman shared to me that he's got three dates he has built into the calendar, and they cannot get the Gillum camp to respond. And I think it's because even Mayor Gillum knows that Congressman DeSantis would eat his lunch on the very issues you just described for all to see. Let's just hope and pray that public pressure will force him to that public debate where we can all see what the man really stands for.
I believe that would be one of the greatest tacks that could be employed at this juncture with 30-some-odd days left in the race, is if somehow, some way, he could be before the camera with a face-to-face debate, as you said, for the state of Florida to see. I'm fearful, and I say this in the right sense, for our state, because we have so many today. We have the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, that they love the term socialism. They love the thing. In fact, in reading one major research article on the millennials in the America, and we find them heavily in the state of Florida, the millennials and their belief in socialism. And when the drill down took place with the questioning, it's not a matter of socialism. They don't even understand what it means. They want free stuff. Free stuff. And so here's Andrew Gillum that's playing on that free stuff approach, that if everything is offered free, and yet we have so many today that's not been taught civics and proper U.S. history and American history in the classroom in colleges and universities as a result of that, somehow, some way, they don't understand what socialism does. Go back to the scripture, and the first century church tried socialism, and that did not work. And ultimately, the Apostle Paul said, if you don't work, you should not eat. And yet we have those today, Jay, that still want to embrace socialism. We got about a minute and a half left, Jay. I want you to take this minute and a half and wrap it up. Talk to our listeners today, plead with them, urge them, implore them to vote and to vote for Ron DeSantis. I don't mind saying that publicly. Vote for Ron DeSantis as governor and vote for Rick Scott for our senator that will replace the absentee senator named Bill Nelson. I think Christians need to take a stand. I think it's time for us to come out of the closet, be heard and seen, and to take a stand for what is morally, ethically, and biblically right. And this that we're talking about today, Jay, I believe is the most important thing that we can discuss at this juncture in the history of our nation and for the history of the state of Florida, for what we, the people, ought to do.
Agreed, Dr. Youngblood. Earlier in the broadcast, you mentioned that we are the salt. We are the light. The only way that evil can prevail in this country or any other is for good people to do nothing. As John Adams said, our Constitution was made only for a religious and moral people. We are those people, Dr. Youngblood. This is our time. We recognize that Governor Scott can be that senator that makes these confirmations work in D.C. There will be more in the future. And if what's happening now doesn't illustrate that more than anything else, I don't know what will. We as Christians have the opportunity to stand for a fellow believer who believes in God and country in this election for governor for Ron DeSantis. We can go to the ballot box. We can mail our vote in. But we will be counted. We will be heard. And we can prevail.
Touch on this issue in the last few seconds we have. You understand very clearly what one vote can do. Speak to that one vote and the fact that you were elected for office with two votes.
Listeners, through a lot of hard work and through the grace of God, I won my first primary election ever 4 years ago by a mere two votes. And if you don't feel the hand of God on a moment like that, you're not going to. Every vote counts. And when someone tells you that their vote doesn't count, you tell them, talk to Jay Fant about that, because it does. So your vote counts. And in this election, it could be your vote that makes the difference.
Absolutely. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's close with this statement. Vote, vote, vote. Get out and vote. If it's raining, if it's sunshine, if it's whatever the weather's like, do not let that detract or deter you. But we need to vote. As Christians, we need to take a stand. We need to seek God's face, pray, humble ourselves, and allow Him to heal our land. Thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air, even tomorrow, as once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.